Well, good morning. A Thursday, April. Here we are. It's Daily Weathered View, brought to you by the guys that do the Weather Report on Sundays, 7 p.m. Pacific Time, live on YouTube, simulcast on Rumble. Another gorgeous day here in California. Another bunch of my great co-hosts and sponsors, Jason from Horrible Designs, Ken from Mad K Studio.
Fuck him.
Harkos. Harkos from Music Making Sense Podcast and Apex Music Systems, and I'm Bruce McGee. For the Weathered Soul, for WSMG, Weathered Soul Media Group. Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing good. You want to hear something kind of fucking dumb, but not surprising at all?
I'm not surprised about the stupidity, so let's go. Let's get it started.
Okay. So the package I sent out to Aaron from I Had to Say It podcast for being in our show, I sent that on April 1st. He still has not received it.
Oh, no.
It's stuck at the Chanahan, Illinois post office. So if you work for the Chanahan post office, just want to let you know, you fucking suck. I've had stickers or I've had stuff go to Canada that I shipped out on the 2nd that have arrived before the fuckers at the post office has been able to deliver anything. So this is your government in action. Next time I'm sending UPS, if I send anything to Aaron, because obviously the UPS fucking sucks.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, when it comes down to, they just did a campaign where USPS is touting, you know, they got this new goal towards, you know, actually doing something for their customers and things like that. their whole premise right now is just sending junk mail. I mean, because that's all really I get from them. We get packages from them from, you know, various places that do shipping, you know, because that's their main thing. That has to be their main thing now. You know, nobody sends letters or cards or anything like that anymore. So, you know, might as well shipping me, but yeah, go ahead and grab for the worst possible thing that you can do and just be inadequate in your job, especially when you're subsidized heavily by the taxpayer.
Yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. It's since April 7th, it's been, he lives in Chanahan, whatever it is. It's not too far from him.
Yep.
And it's been sitting there since April 3rd.
Oh, man. And no reason why.
I reached out to Aaron. I said, I just wanted to let you know this is what's going on. He said, oh, yeah, that's not surprising. He said, it will be sometimes months after something's supposed to arrive that it actually does finally arrive from that fucking post office.
Wow! And is this one of those real small rural post offices, or is this like, you know, somebody goes in like once a month? I don't know. Hello, did I lose you?
Oh, yeah, okay. I think I lost you there for a second.
Is this one of those small rural post offices, or is this the actual, you know, kind of a distribution center?
Yeah, I'd have to ask Aaron for what the size of it is. But he was telling me that he had ordered some kitty litter, and the post office said, yeah, we delivered it. And a few weeks later, he reached out to the company, got a refund, and then a few weeks after that, the kitty litter arrived. He's like, what the fuck? And the post office said, yeah, we delivered it, and here it is. They haven't delivered it, and there it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Fucking ridiculous.
something that got shoved off and hit behind the table.
Yeah.
And they go clean up. They go clean up their distribution center and all of that. Oh, what's this? It's a bunch of stuff that hasn't got delivered in years. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So yeah. If you're listening and you need to deliver something to Illinois, use UPS instead. Fuck the post office.
Yeah, UPS is all right. I haven't had much problem, but the prices are outrageous. I mean, the shipping prices in general are just outrageous.
But that's
to the thanks of you know, inflation and just the nature of being subsidized and unions and all this other stuff and all this other crap. Because UPS used to be an employee-owned company. I mean, that's what they touted themselves to be when they first opened up. They were kind of a corporate entity, and then they said, hey, we're going to sell our company to the employees. The employees are going to be the owners of the company. And that went pretty good, and then they unionized, and there started the rise in prices, and, of course, shipping costs and all the regulations having to do with any type of shipping, whether it be by boat, whether it be by plane, whether it be by car or rail, costs have gone up. So, of course, they're going to pass that on to the consumer.
Oh, yeah.
And so now we're paying. Now your shipping costs that are handled through your Shopify entities or whatever shopping thing that you have, like a standard rate that you guys get, or is it like per item?
It depends upon the size and the weight.
Yeah. So size and weight. So there's no, like, you know, you ship from us every day or something like that. We're going to do a shipping thing for you that only costs you $5 every time you ship or you know, whatever.
Nope. Okay. It depends upon the weight and the size. So.
I can't remember who it was. Somebody was doing that for a while, and I guess they quit doing it. I want to say it was UPS.
I think USPS.
Or was it eBay? I think it was eBay. Oh. eBay did something like that where if you were selling on their platform or something like that, what would happen is that if you did enough volume, that shipping was a set price.
Oh.
Actually, I can't remember. Maybe I'm wrong.
You're wrong. You're fucking wrong. You're fucking wrong, and the post office fucking sucks.
Yeah, sure.
At least in Shanahan, Illinois, they fucking suck. I haven't had problems delivering anywhere else, so that's a plus. But, I have had stuff not show up to other people, and whenever I've had that, I just send it out to UPS instead, and then it gets to them. So there's been, I think, out of all the stuff I've sent out, I think this is like the fourth or fifth order that's gotten lost.
Wow. Do you insure these when they go out?
Oh, of course I do. Yeah. Of course I insure. Of course I insure everything. Because the one time that I didn't, the stuff got lost, and then I wound up having to pay for it all myself. But ever since I pay the... I pay for insurance in every single frickin' order.
Yeah. Wow. Just another business expense. So.
Yep.
Yeah, it's amazing that me and my wife, we want to get into the we've discussed this before. She's a crafter, and she makes wreaths and centerpieces and things like that go around your house, and all that artsy-fartsy stuff that women do. And she wants to sell that through Etsy or whatever the popular place is. At any rate, the shipping cost, to me, I don't know whether, do you find that your customers shy away from you for shipping costs, or shipping costs just the same across the board? Does anybody have like an advantage over anybody else in shipping costs?
The only people that tend to shy away from me because of shipping costs would probably be people in other countries, especially Canada. Mm-hmm. because even though we're on the same fucking landmass, it's considered international shipping. So it will usually cause, like, if I were to send a packet of stickers to you, Bruce, it might cost me $5 to send it. If I were to send it to Canada, it'd be like $15. Even though it's the same fucking landmass, it would still cost like that much money. And there's been a few people who have come to me off of Etsy and said, is this really the shipping cost? I'm like, yep, that is the literal shipping cost that I am paying. And that's what it would want to cost to have it shipped over there. I can give you like a slight discount on it, but when I do that, I make next to nothing then.
Right. So is that from a Canadian tariff or something like that? Coming over their border?
It must be.
Yeah, I'm figuring it has to be. So, you know, when you're in competition with the horrible designs of Canada. So, yeah. I guess that's just how it is. Yeah. Oh, we had to ship a wreath across the country to somebody we both know that was in the Nomad Network, and actually the shipping cost for the wreath was more than the wreath that we sold the wreath for.
Uh-huh.
And we're just like, wow.
Yeah.
Who's gonna buy from us?
Uh-huh. That's the only problem of shipping internationally.
Yeah. It's just like, wow, who's gonna buy from us? And that's kind of what scared us away from the business. So I think we're gonna give it another go, you know, just trying to get get everything all squared away with area and, you know, area to work and you know, kind of doing the bookkeeping on the inventory that we have, stuff like that. Because we have inventory, you know, we're pretty much ready to open the store. And in fact, we were supposed to open the yard store on Saturday, but of course, the wonderful spring weather here in California is going to prevent us from doing that. It's been 80 degrees and just sunny and gorgeous all week, and then come Friday, we're gonna get rain all the way through Saturday. And then Sunday, really nobody comes and shops, so we're delayed another week. And then my wife's all mad at me because the next Saturday I'm going golfing, so go figure. Anyhow, did some bookkeeping last night. Did you get your invite to the calendar? Did come through?
I saw it this morning.
Cool. Yeah, I figured that's just another thing to piss you guys off and go like, is this something else I got to fucking do? I wanted to do it through Notion, you know, that program that Jason gave us. And I tried getting that all started and stuff like that. And all of a sudden it started giving me these splash screens that you can only do this with Plus. So now Notion wants to sell me a different service to go ahead and create a team, you know, and stuff like that. And I just like, what the fuck this, I'm not doing it. And so back to good old free Google, which I'm sure is going to take all our information and use it in some nefarious way. And the FBI or the SWAT team will be at my door if I say something wrong. Anyhow, let's get to the show. So Barbara Lee, who was a senator or some kind of representative for the government, joined the rest of the stupid squad of commenting about the eclipse and the way that the moon is composed of. But to her credit, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say at least she didn't say the moon was made of cheese, but she was in front of a bunch of high school students and proclaimed that the moon was mostly composed of gas.
Okay. Well, you know,
another one of the brightest that we send to Washington to represent us. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, I was just going to say, due to the eclipse, everybody in my entire city melted, except for me, because I was wrapped up in tinfoil.
I find it amazing. And you know, when Kim gets on here or Harkos gets on here, that, you know, they will set us straight, you know, about the stupidity of the people that that run into government. But this just happens far too often. It really does, and I don't understand it. I don't know whether they do it for attention, whether it's just a gaffe, whether it's just they're just like stupid. I mean,
I think some of it is that some of them are just that fucking stupid, and I think some of it also is that some of them are purposely playing to the least common denominator to try and win their vote. So I don't know. It looks like Ken is joining in. Speaking of Ken,
yep.
As I said earlier, fuck that guy.
Well, he hasn't requested to speak yet, so maybe he's got laryngitis or something, or I'm not sure, but maybe he's just trying to figure stuff out. All these latecomers, you know, want to come in, these newcomers, and
yeah.
Anyhow, I was gonna read the article, but I'll wait for Ken to get on here, and let me give him an invite and see if he wants to come in and join the show. Invite to speak. There you go. Maybe he's just going to sit back and laugh at us and see if we can carry the show. But nonetheless, I can carry a show, Ken. I really can. With my beautiful DJ voice here. And you might sound like I'm in a closet because X's wonderful studio technology that they have. But anyhow. It's just a culmination of people that have said the same thing. You know, we've got that celebrity saying the same thing, like Sonny Hostin saying that the eclipse and other things are just caused by climate change, and that AOC thinks that we can go land on the sun at night because it's cooler.
Yeah.
And
oh man,
where do we get these people that are just like just full of this knowledge? We want to send our best. We really want to send our best to Washington D.C.
Yeah, and
here we are.
I really wonder what some of these other countries think of the politicians in the U.S. And it's like, you know what? This is a perfect representation of the voters.
You get the government you deserve, right?
110%, yes.
looks like Ken's been in and out because of the great technology that X has given us for X Spaces, and of course, technology as it is going to. We're just gonna blame it on the eclipse. Let's blame it on the sun.
Well, I'm the only person alive in my city, like I said, because everyone melted. Because I was wrapped in tin foil and I was inside of a tin shed when that happened. And that is a slight nod to a 80s movie, The Night of the Comet, which is a great movie.
Good effing morning, right? Motherfuckers. You're sitting there talking shit to me as I'm listening, as I'm in the garage trying to gather some parts to put together in the car. And stuff.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm like, I hear you guys. I hear you. And so I had to drop out and come in because when I start my car, I got a headset Bluetooth, and I start my car, it goes to the car and then comes back, and then everything gets squirrely. So I dropped out and came back in. But Jason, I had a good talk last night with one of the legislators in your state, and it was wonderful because I asked him. I said, "Do you just want to shoot yourself in the face every day after you leave the floor? You know, the floor of the House of Representatives there." And he's like, "Oh God, sometimes I feel like it." I'm like, "Man, I'm so glad I got out of that state." And he goes, "Well, you know, it's just you know what? Fuck you, Ken." and he said it with love. So yeah, it was a good time. But yeah, I'm gonna have a fun talk with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are.
I'm gonna have a fun because I'm gonna be like, "Hey, you know, I forgot the name of my representative. Pat something."
Not Garofalo. No, you're Garofalo. That's a different part.
Pat Garofalo. Yes, I'm gonna be like, "Hey, Shane."
Oh, he's gonna go off.
Doesn't Pat Garofalo look like that sleazy villain from Ant-Man and the Wasp? And he'd be like, oh, fucking right he does, yeah!
Well, like, one of the beauties of Shane is he, you know, it'll be the easiest show we ever did. We'd be like, we'd like to introduce so-and-so. And much like Harkos on a rant, you don't even need to worry about getting a word in edgewise, or he'll just go for 2-3 hours. I mean,
he'll take the whole show. That's great, dude. That's what I love. I love interview shows because, you know, you just get somebody off on a rant. Like even Jason Stapleton's coming on in a couple of weeks. You ask him one question, he'll take the whole show. Yeah. And it's one of the easiest shows that you can ever do. And if you got anybody out there that wants to listen, if you guys are trying to get off the ground with a podcast, a business, anything like that, got a good idea that we support, you know, us here, that whether you support, or so maybe we can ridicule you and get you on here and then we just backlash you. But anyway, hey, just send us a line or something like that. The show notes, you know, there's links down to the show notes. Click, give us a call, and we'll try to get you on. But I can't wait to have Shane Mecklen on. It's going to be a cool show. We were just commenting about the Barbara Lee story. Who thinks that the moon? At least she didn't say it was made of cheese, but said that it was mostly made of gas. Stuff like that.
Oh, wasn't that a riot?
We have some brilliant, people that represent us in government. I guess we get the government we deserve.
Is she dating the guy that was the one guy that was the legislator in Washington? I can't remember his name because he's nothing to me. But he was talking about the island that they were doing too much building on, and if they built too much on one side, the island would
in the sea. I think I remember that. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, Bartley, you know, like, is. I'm like, what a dumbass. Doesn't he know that there's chains that go from the corners of the island down to the fucking floor? It's the first thing you do when you're building an island so they don't flip over. I mean, the idiocy of these people. They're chained to the fucking floor. That's how and they don't sink because they're made of styrofoam.
Yes. I mean, and then
these people just don't.
And you also put stakes into the water to hold it in place.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Water. Ooh, speaking of steaks, I just saw some road steak. Someone mauled it. Oh, holy cow! That was a schmear a deer moment where a semi hit it and it got wedged in the wheels and dragged it for 600
feet. Oh god! There we go. Anyway, I'm gonna read the article. So the social media X users trash representative Sheila Lee, Democrat of Texas, after she turned her gap about the moon being made of gases into a slam of Republicans on social media on Tuesday. Reaching to the backlash she received for telling school children that the moon is made from gases ahead of Monday's eclipse, the lawmaker said that the Republican critics are hounding because they have a lust for stupidity. Of course we have a lust for stupidity. I'm not a Republican, but I'm a kind of an educated guy. I have a lust for fucking pointing out stupidity. I'm sorry, Sheila. You're like one of the dumbest people on the planet.
She's not the dumbest person on the planet. That would have to go to either AOC or Maxine Waters.
Yeah, Maxine Waters, she's pretty dumb too. AOC, Sunny Hostin, she's not in government, but she's probably one of the dumbest people on the planet also. And wow, just amazing that these people even, you know, we'll turn it around and blame it on somebody else.
Sheila Lee, also, you got to remember, she's been in office down there in Texas, mind you, where everyone says, oh, Texas is this awesome state. The fuck it is. You got that person in there since 1990 or 92. She's been in there for 32 or 34 years. I'm not sure exactly.
So way too long.
She's been serving. And that is what you've got now. And now she's getting up in the years, and yep. She might be just, the mind might be slipping. We've got all these people that, you know, they start their political career in their 40s after they've done nothing all of their lives, most of them. You know, they're not like Rand Pauls that are literally an eye surgeon, you know, had some accomplishments. No, these people are in there and they say these things, and you got to think sometimes they're put out there and they say, go say something stupid. We need to, we need to we need to get people riled up about something while we do something else, and that's exactly what they do. And you'll hear from Shane. I'm going to try to get some other legislators that I know that are willing to talk about the actual, you know, talk truth about what goes on and how they do. They do put these, they float these trial balloons up and say, you know, the world of useful idiots. That's the AOCs, Maxine Waters, and
Adam Schiff.
Adam Schiff. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, man, there's a whole boatload of them here in California. Even the Republican Tom LaClintock, he's an idiot too. But he's an idiot on a different. He's an idiot on a different wavelength. He doesn't know who he represents. He doesn't know whether he represents California, whether he represents the conservative movement, or whether he represents the progressive movement. He's kind of wishy-washy guy, kind of blows with the wind. I can't stand those guys. No policy, no principles.
There's something called a pro-life Democrat, and that is what most of the milquetoast Republicans are, which is why I left the party and was like, I can't be with you people. You either stand for something or you don't. And if you're not going to be bold, you're going to get rolled over. And I've been beating this drum for years. Like, this is how the left always wins. They're not afraid of being bold.
No, they're not.
Pissing somebody off.
Nope.
And they take action.
They actually do something. Yes. They actually do something.
So that's, they win.
They said they were going to pass Obamacare, and they did. And then Republicans said, yeah, we're going to repeal it. And they did nothing.
Exactly. Well, and the Republicans are all, this is going to cost you the election in 2010. The Tea Party rose up and did exactly that. And then all the Republicans got in there and go, well, you know, can't really repeal it. Maybe we could just ignore that it's there and pass some more windmill farm fucking building permits in Texas.
It's almost embarrassing. It has to be embarrassing to be a Republican. It really does. I mean, to be a Democrat, you can be bold and stick your face in somebody's face and go, ah, ha, 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 you know, because that's what you're doing, right? But to be a Republican, to think that you walk and you talk like you have a spine, and then when it comes down to the real action, you really have no spine. You're like an earthworm. And to me, when somebody tells me, oh, I'm conservative and Republican, and that's all I vote for, I just kind of sit back and laugh.
They're the equivalent of the team that plays the Harlem Globetrotters.
The Washington Generals.
Yep, that's what they are. They're the Washington Generals. You know? I think that's what I'm going to call them right now. I think we should do. Maybe I should do that. Make up some T-shirts.
That's what, we should do.
That's
yeah.
what I'm going to make up an artwork T-shirt. I'm going to send it to Horrible Design.
Okay.
And he's going to make up, and it'll be the elephant, you know, the Republican elephant, but it'll say the Washington Generals. we're doing that.
That
for
is
sure.
beautiful. That is beautiful. I'm going to buy one of those.
I am going to do that, and it's going to have the imprint of the Democrat donkey in there too, like on a chain or something like that. Kind of like that, like if you've seen Spinal Tap, you know, they had the album Snip, Smell the Glove. You know, and they described it as offensive, and this was in 1981, and it was Fran Drescher was the lady that was explaining to the band why this is offensive to women, and she's like, "You've got a woman on all fours with a chain around her neck, reaching out to a man's hand wearing a glove, and it's called Smell the Glove. It's sexist." And they're like, "Oh, it sounds sexy." It's not, no, sexist. Ist, not sexy. Oh, okay. What would, if it was reversed, would it be okay? Oh, and it was funny. That's the shirt we need to do. We need to do a Spinal Tap. We are inventing. Do what we're doing right now. This is product development.
Yes, it is.
So for you people out there, this is how you create wealth. We came up with something in a conversation, and we have an idea. We're going to follow it through into a product that some people are going to buy, and enough people buy them, we have now created wealth. And we created the wealth completely out of air, pulled it out of our ass.
Yes.
And it didn't come from anyone else. We haven't stolen from you or the poor people or Mexicans or black people or Asians. We just invented it. This is product development. This is product design. I've designed hundreds of products.
I got my pinky finger under my lower lip going, and we'll make millions
Yeah. All I want is sharks with. I just want sharks with freaking lasers on their heads. Is that too much to ask?
That's what I want too, around my property.
Ill-tempered sea bass.
Yes.
Well, speaking of the olden days and all those oldie movies, Harkos got online with me last night. I don't know if you guys saw the thread.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was in a private. Anyway, he was talking about him and his kids watched Smokey and the Bandit. And he had watched Smokey and the Bandit as a kid. And he asked me without ridicule, because a lot of times he talks to me because I'm an octogenarian now. And he asked me, he goes, like, was it really like that back in the 70s, you know, where, you know, people were just like, you know, free, like doing that stuff? And I'm going like, oh yeah, absolutely, dude. It was absolutely like that. There was a parody on the issue of Coors Beer and how Bandit actually was doing his bidding, you know, with the sheriff. I mean, that was all. That was all Hollywood stuff like that, but actually,
right.
the mood, and the actions of the people that were actually in the movie, you know, the extras, yep. And the other stars. Yeah, that's actually how it really was. I mean, I kind of described it to him like this: it was a magical time for me, because that was when I talk about the good old days. When anybody talks about the good old days, that was my good old days. The mid 70s to the early 80s was kind of that sweet spot for me. And even though it was some of my worst times, it was actually some of my best times as far as socially. And yeah, it was like that. I mean, you know, we got, you know, you were a kid. I was a kid at that time. And you know, I would run the neighborhood. In fact, I was pretty much running on my own from the time I was 8 years old on. You know,
when did you graduate high school, Bruce? When was your high school?
1978.
All right. Fuck. So I was 86. So I have a very similar experience. Mine drifted into the 80s a little bit more. But in the 70s, we were driving around a lot. 71, 2, and 3, we drove from Boston to Alaska. I've mentioned that before with the family. You know, and camping the whole way with the camper pulling a trailer. And then we had a motorhome. And then we'd travel. We'd drive to Florida. And we'd do some other stuff all through the 70s. And yeah, it was like that on the road. You'd go places and the mood, like you said, the mood, like at the campgrounds. Think about camping in a KOA campground somewhere in the Midwest in 1975, 76. Fucking paradise, you know? And it
absolutely.
It was the malaise era. There was big inflation. There was a lot of problems. We had just ended broken wounds. You had all these veterans coming back from the war that were treated like shit. And there was just this, but when you get out into the actual world away from the bullshit of the press and stuff like that, it was a wonderful, wonderful time. Yeah. That led into the 80s, which were also, people dogged the 80s. I'm like, the 80s were fucking spectacular.
Yes, they
what
were.
What an incredible time. A huge changes in society and in thinking and in music. I mean, 1980, MTV. That changed our lives. I don't know for the better, but it was like all of a sudden there was a face to all these bands that you listen to, you know. And,
One Step Beyond.
Oh my
video.
God!
Remember that video?
Oh,
One
that was so
Step
good.
Beyond. That was
well, you that look was, at the music
my,
industry.
That was
those...
my that was my introduction to ska. That was my introduction to ska.
to ska. Right? You know, so yeah, I mean, you look at what was going on in music videos at the time, and music, so with the introduction of synthesizers and stuff like that, music changed, and then there was a rebellion to that, and the rock came back, and you know, you got Guns N' Roses and bands like that that came back that were just like them or hate them. They were good old fashioned rock and roll. When you had you had Boy George and the Culture Club on the other side of the spectrum. And Wham, and then you had like Till Tuesday from Boston. The Mighty Mighty Bosstones were playing in Boston at the time. And then in the 90s, they got big. And I used to go on booze cruises at Boston Harbor with the Mighty Mighty Bosstones before they.
I saw them in a concert at the Vans Warped Tour back in the early 2000s.
Kick ass.
Yes.
I got to live through the rise of Southern rock, but you know, the redneck rock or whatever you want to call it, you know, with Leonard Skinner.
Yep. And that was we called that country up in Boston. Leonard Skinner was just called country. There was two country bands I heard, Leonard Skinner and Charlie Daniels Band, better known in the urban centers as Chuck D.
Yep. And then there was what do they call that? What do they call ELO and Queen and stuff like that? Progressive rock, I guess that we call it.
Progressive rock. Yeah.
When progressive meant something, not what it meant now. And so I got to see the rise of that. I got to see the rise of disco. I got to see the demise of disco, which, you know, to tell you the truth, man, I love disco. Fucking disco is fucking
too.
Great. I don't give a shit what anybody says. Fucking disco is good fucking music. So.
Oh, what awesome music.
Yeah, it was awesome music. A lot of awesome people came out of that genre, and then in the '80s, the rise of hip hop, as it used to stand, it was more of a poppy type of thing, and then now it's evolved into something that's really special with Hard Coast, because you know, I'm not going to trash hip hop because I don't know too much other about it than its roots. But it's definitely
a side note on hip hop quick is I watched a video this morning with Sam Kennison talking about rap music. And he was talking about how the rap people always give him shit and stuff like that, because the rap guys are always grabbing their junk, you know. Right, he's like, right. You know, if you remember Sam Kennison, he had a special way of talking.
Yes, he did.
And he was sitting there saying, "Did you grab your cock? Do you want to do that? Because they don't play any fucking instruments. If you play the guitar, you don't have time to fucking grab your cock." Just went off on it. And I was like, "Oh, I got it." I wasn't able to save it and send it. I was going to send it to Harco so he could enjoy that too. I'm like, "This is what white people think of your music, Harco."
Yeah, Sam was a special guy. Sam was a special guy. Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh yeah.
And yep.
I think that
Hickory Dickory.
Andrew Dice Clay was
Hickory Dickory Dock. Yeah.
She needed the money.
Yeah.
Once
a rose woman lived in a shoe. She had so many kids, her sledge fell out. I can't remember what it was exactly, but oh my God, he was brilliant.
Oh man,
a one trick pony, but
yeah, and then preceding him was like Don Rickles. So I mean, there's another special guy,
Richard Pryor,
and stuff like that. And probably the only thing that you can do now is probably equate him with anybody would be like Bill Burr, and Bill Burr's still really really progressive on the progressive stand.
Oh God, he's funny.
Yeah, he's
funny.
I'm
just pulling into work, guys. I will talk to you later on. And
hi, Ken. We'll see you tonight. We'll see you tonight at the third.
Oh, that's tonight.
Baby, we'll see how my automotive stuff is going. Oh. I might be underneath the car, but I could join in from under the car.
So you mean I got to look at you, fuckers?
We'll talk to you guys later.
Yeah, of course. She can.
Shit! I love giving you guys all the time.
Anyhow, so going on. It's like we had Arcos's kids, and we're asking, you know, pretty much, it's like that's how it was. And the kind of what we took away from that conversation was the fact that where did it go? Who was the one that instituted the kind of lifestyle that the kids are living these days? And Harco says it's soy, but it goes much deeper than that. I mean, because my parents raised me to be the way I am, and I had ultimate freedom from the time I was 8 years old until forever, right? So I would get up in the morning, I would you know, go to school. We had a babysitter because my mom worked, but we had a babysitter. I would walk to school, which was a good, if I remember right, it was a good half mile to school through a neighborhood, you know, to get to school. Run away from my sister because I'd walk her to school, which she says she's still traumatized to this day on that. But, you know, so I walked to school. And then when we got out of school, I went to, you know, Cub Scouts, Boy Scouts, whatever it was, baseball practice and things like that. You know, every once in a while, my mom would show up at baseball practice to pick me up. But for the most part, I'd walk home. And what I remember most is just being free with my other friends who were just as free as me in the neighborhood and just doing stuff until the streetlight came on. And when that streetlight came on, you had X amount of time to get your ass home. Because if you weren't home, you were grounded. And that was the thing back in the day, is that you got grounded. And it's not being grounded like today, where if you're grounded, you have, you know, your cell phone and you have video games. And you got, no, back in the day when I was around, all you had was TV and three channels. And then you were probably pretty much grounded from that. So your existence was in your room, like a jail cell, looking out your window. Decided to come and see you and try to break you out of jail.
Yeah, I used to walk to school in ninth grade, and that was, I just looked up to see how long it was, and it was a mile.
Yeah.
But in middle school or in grade school, I think my brother and I would sometimes ride our bikes, and that was about a mile and a half. And I did that in like fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth grade. And I can't remember when, I don't remember when my parents stopped having us a babysitter over summer break. But we would get up and we would do whatever the hell we wanted to. Nobody was home and we were able to do whatever the hell we wanted to. And, there was a few times where things were questionable. I remember one time the cops got called on us because of stuff.
Oh yeah.
The freedom you had was probably greater than the freedom that I had, but we still had a lot of freedom to do whatever the fuck we wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of like I said, I'm trying to figure out where it went all wrong, but Dr. Spock came out, not Spock in the Star Trek, but Dr. Spock came out with a book on how to raise children back in the 70s and stuff like that. And I remember that my sister had actually started having kids back then. And maybe that's where it ended, because I'm not blaming my sister, but I do remember that her kids kind of, you know, my nephews and nieces, or at least my two older nephews, they had kind of the freedoms that I had, but not so much. And I think it just has to do with the culture and I guess the way that people consume it. You start consuming media in different ways. And I'm not sure if that was one of the things. It could have been the religious makeup that she married into. Could be a multitude of things, but
yeah,
basically they did not have the freedom that I had. And maybe she recognized that the way I turned out, which of course I was the black sheep of the family. Maybe that's one of the reasons that drove her to saying like, nah, we're not going to give our kid that much freedom. But.
I think some of it might have to do, this is just a theory of mine, but it might have something to do with, Gen X. As we were kind of I'm part of the Gen X crowd, that we were just kind of forgotten generation, just love to do whatever the hell we wanted to. And I think some people don't want our kids growing up the same way and getting the same type of trouble that we did. So I think there's some hesitation to give our kids that much freedom. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
I tell you what, without those experiences that I had, less, you know, take away the drug addiction and the incarceration that I endured, it was a beautiful time, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I made some choices that were wrong. I paid for my choices, but I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't live through that era and be a part of that era and be able to have that freedom, because I tried to give that freedom back to my children as much as I could. My son couldn't indulge in that freedom, but my daughter could. And I let her grow up like that. But now she's kind of indoctrinated into the propaganda. It's unfortunate, but that's what she does. She's trying to hold on to that stuff. But for the most part, you know, she's afraid to go outside sometimes. So And to tell you what, you know, there's a little bit of validity to that. It is kind of crazy out there. I don't see any of the kids outside like I used to.
Oh God, no.
You know, when I was a kid, no, there's not kids running around the neighborhood, you know, bugging you and all on my yard. You know, I don't have to yell at the kids going, get off my grass, you know, and stuff like that, because I'd be that guy anyway. I don't see that in my neighborhood. And it's really a shame, because I look at these kids and I just got like, you guys do not know what you're missing out there in the world, yeah. Man. Because you guys should be out in the freaking orchards and the freaking riverbeds and the parks and stuff like that, out there freaking jumping your bikes. And,
oh yeah, like I used to. Yeah, it's amazing that some of us didn't die.
Oh yeah, oh absolutely. But you know, a cut now, you know, a little cut now is a major catastrophe, because number one, your parents are going to sue who's ever responsible for either the wood that was made out of the ramp that you didn't make very well, or the land that the ramp was made on. I mean, I think it really came down to being litigious. And when this society got very, very litigious,
yes,
that's when stuff started.
It could be also, yeah. I remember there was my daughter was young at the time. It's probably, I don't know, 8-9 years ago. I was out riding my bike. I was an adult. And I happened to catch a dog, I'm not going to say the breed, a dog that was not in a leash, and it was barking at me. And so I stopped, because sometimes you just don't aggravate the dog. And it stopped barking at me, and so I got back on my bike and started riding. Well, the second I did that, the dog came up to me and bit me.
Yeah.
And drew blood and everything like that. And the owners were worried that I was going to sue them. I'm like, I'm not going to fucking sue you. It's a dog. I found out that the dog has issues with bike people. Yes, it has an issue with bikes. And I told the owner, I said, well, next time tell your kid to not let the dog run outside unattended. And he's like, okay, you're not going to sue? I'm like, no, I'm not going to fucking sue you. Said, I still have a leg. It's a puncture wound. I'm going to go to the hospital, have it checked out. And if it winds up being more than my insurance will cover, then you're going to pay for it. But other than that, I'm not going to sue you.
Yeah.
If it was anybody else, yeah, they'd sue the living shit out of you.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's the mentality.
Yeah.
That's the mentality. And, get that money where you can.
I don't believe in that.
Dude, I've got some friends of mine that will sue you on a fucking dime, dude. Actually, they cannot wait to get in an auto accident, because if they get in an auto accident, it's very easy. I mean, extremely easy to fake an injury.
Oh, fucking hell, yeah.
It's just I crushed my knee, I hurt my back, I did this, I did that. Yeah. You know what? I've had a couple of accidents, you know, and I've been hurt. I probably have some lingering circumstances from it, but you know what? I didn't go after the poor. I got the insurance money, you know, the medical was paid for, you know, blah blah blah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I didn't miss any work.
Same
you
know, here.
Anything like that.
Same here.
And I just will not do it. But there's people out there that, man, if you just tap their bumper, all of a sudden they've got this neck injury that has been aggravated for you're into it for $1 million.
Yeah,
that's how they live their lives. Right. And I look at them and I to tell you the truth, I don't even hang out with them.
Yep.
After I heard some of those things, I just went like, no. We can't hang out. I wasn't like, we can't hang out. I'm just all like, I've just stopped hanging out.
Yep.
With them. I don't want to associate with those people.
I agree.
I don't want to associate with
those. I had a slight case of whiplash from an accident where somebody hit me, and their insurance company paid for the repairs for my car. And I'm like, okay, this is good.
Yep. And that's why we have insurance. Yeah. But I mean, Then people take it to the extreme, and they just want more. They want more. They want pain and suffering. They want you were negligent, and sometimes they want you to go to fucking jail. I mean, yeah. So yeah. that's some of the things. That's just weird, dude. Uh, But I think that's where we're at. And I think that's a great answer to Harkos. And, you know, too bad he's not here today. He's probably busy doing something, but, that's fine.
He's probably masturbating.
maybe. Anyway, yeah. Well, thanks for being here, dude. I haven't pulled into work, but I have to pull into the gas station and get myself some $5 a gallon.
How
gas
dare you?
That we have in California. Yeah, I have to. But we're gonna do this 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday
Pacific time
on the Daily Weather View. Yeah, Pacific time. That is the best time of the year to be on Pacific time.
That's the leftover time. Central time is the best time, which is we do this from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock Central time. Fuck Pacific time.
There you go. So you're getting good at this now. See, it was just a little prodding here and there, and we get Jason all up in arms and ready to do the show. Yeah. But we want to thank you guys for being here.
Fucking right.